Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive and, of course, joined inside the studio by Travis Anderson. Travis, Tuesday already. I know we're getting down to the final couple of days of the NBA basketball season. We got to talk about this tonight. There's so many scenarios for the Utah Jazz. They can go anywhere from 3 to 7. We have some clarity after last night, but also something to point out. For the first time in a while, a team with 46 wins is going to miss out on the playoffs in the Western Conference. Some clarity, but still a lot of question marks.
That's how good this conference has been all year. The Western Conference has been very good, and a team with 46 wins, usually you're pretty safely in, but not this year, so crazy to think about.
I remember 1 year 50 wouldn't get you in.
Yeah, 50 was barely pushing, trying to get in. You had to get to, what, 52, 53 wins?
Yeah, I think there was 1 year a team with 50 wins did not get in. So it has been a very competitive year. The Utah Jazz, though, clinched a spot. We just don't know who they're going to play and where they're actually going to be, and we can talk a little bit about that later on in the show. On the local sports front, we're going to be joined next segment by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dino baseball team. Looking forward to this conversation because we have two massive games. Tomorrow, Carbon will travel on the road to meet Union, and then they'll play again on Friday. Now, why are these two games so important? Right now, three teams sit at the very top of the Region 14 standings: Carbon, Juab, and Union, all 4-0 in league play. And so a victory here for Carbon tomorrow would put them in the driver's seat to potentially claim a region championship, which is so big in high school baseball because you're talking about playing host to a pod in the state tournament. Coach Cincinnatus will join us. We'll talk about that. We'll also recap what happened last week for Carbon because typically you're playing two region games a week. Last week, Carbon had to play a makeup game. So they played Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. They managed to sweep Delta and complete the season sweep of Providence Hall. So it was a big week for Dino baseball. We'll talk to Coach Cincinnatus next segment and talk about the two games coming up against Union and how the team has played. I know Nate Olson has been hitting the crap out of the ball lately. This kid's hitting like .355 now on the season. He's been great for Carbon, had a 3-for-3 performance. So we're going to talk about the team in general. That'll be with manager Jeff Cincinnatus next segment. Now, let's look at the national sports front and take a look at some of the bigger storylines. I guess in the NFL, Richie Incognito retiring is a story in itself. He says because of health issues. Unfortunate because, look, Richie Incognito to me is a guy that will go down as one of the better could-have-beens in the NFL. Bounced around, problems as far as character-wise inside the locker room. Richie Incognito was pretty dang productive during his NFL career, and I think that a lot of, unfortunate incidents prevented him from reaching his full potential? I think that's fair to say.
I think those things, you know, kind of lingered and held him back a little bit. But yeah, when he was in there, he was productive.
12 NFL seasons, you know, he's 34 years old, and you say, really? How could he have been more productive? He could have been. He took a $1.6 million pay cut last month to remain with the Bills for the final season of a 3-year contract. He would have earned about $4.7 million this year. So today, I think that's somewhat of shocking news. But again, he had the problems that will surround him. I mean, when he was in St. Louis, he had the problems when he was in Miami, obviously, which forced him out. And it really pushed the hand of the NFL, I think, with that terrible situation there as well with Martin and everything that went down. Richie Incognito was a productive player. Think he could have been a lot better. I really do.
I do. I think he could have been better too. So unfortunately, those things kind of, you know, held him back just a little bit. But hopefully for his sake, he can get those health issues taken care of.
Let's move over to college basketball here for just a moment. Dan Wetzel, who is he's a Yahoo Sports columnist. I mean, he's been around for sports for quite some time. A very accurate source has tweeted out earlier today that federal prosecutors, in fact, this was about 30 minutes ago, federal prosecutors have filed additional counts against ex-Adidas representative Jim Gatto in college basketball's fraud scandal. This includes payments to families of former players at Louisville, no shock, Miami, Kansas, and NC State. Now, according to Wetzel, sources say that six former players are named in the new charges, including Josh Jackson and Dennis Smith Jr. Both of these guys are now in the NBA, but Dennis Smith Jr., top 10 pick out of NC State, Josh Jackson, a top 5 pick out of Kansas. These are some pretty big names to be named in the scandal.
Pretty big names, and probably more to come. So probably. As this stuff starts to leak out more and more, you're going to see some kind of big names. I'm surprised that we're going to get to the point where it's going to be maybe a Duke, maybe a Kentucky, a North Carolina. They got to be on the list, you would imagine, right?
Last tweet that Dan Wetzel sent out said the new charges do not pertain to anyone at Miami or Louisville. Recycling of the old charges involving those schools. New charges are to Kansas and NC State. And that's why Josh Jackson and Dennis Smith Jr. are a couple of the names that you're going to pay attention to. Plus, Dennis Smith Jr. is ridiculous. That guy is such an athlete. Went to NC State. Again, a lot of people pegged this guy as potentially being rookie of the year for the Dallas Mavericks. And then Josh Jackson, who we knew was a guaranteed top four pick in the draft. Those are big names to be mentioned. I mean, this is a big story that I think it's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, and for Bill Self, a guy that I really like, a great coach, does this hurt him now moving forward? Does he know?
Well, that's the question. I mean, boosters are one thing. We know this. You and I have had this conversation before, so let's wait and see what actually comes of it. All I know is that NC State and Kansas are now mentioned in this fraud scandal. Let's take a look at what's happening in Major League Baseball. Finals from earlier today, the Tampa Bay Rays topped the Chicago White Sox 6-5. Two struggling teams. The Rays now just 3-8. The White Sox dipped to 3-7. They've yet to win a home game. 0-5 at home. The Pirates did defeat the Chicago Cubs 8-5. The Pirates have won 8 out of 10 to start this brand new season. I know not a lot of people had high expectations for the Pirates, but so far they've been great. They haven't lost a game away from home. They're now 4-0. Still to come today, we get the Tigers at the Indians. The Red Sox will play host to the New York Yankees. Chris Sale will be on the mound going up against Severino. Love that pitching matchup. The Red Sox a perfect 3-0 at Fenway. The Yankees, they played 500 ball. The Blue Jays will take on the Orioles. The Nationals welcome in the Atlanta Braves. The Cincinnati Reds, who have seen, we've seen a kind of a push from Joey Votto after a slow start. He's actually hit the ball relatively well over the last couple of games.
Yeah, he's the only one.
Well, look, he's a guy that could arguably win the Triple Crown. Like, if you tell me someone can win the Triple Crown, most of the time you say, Joey Votto is capable of doing that.
Yeah, Cincinnati is the team with Joey Votto. They have a lot of injuries, a lot of young players that they're going to start to call up. So the rebuilding process in Cincinnati goes on.
Yes, absolutely. We get the Mets at the Marlins. The Angels will travel to meet the Rangers. 6 o'clock hour, we get the Astros and the Twins. The Brew Crew on the road to meet the Cardinals. Brent Sutter will be on the mound going up against Carlos Martinez. 6:15 tonight, the Mariners at the Royals. The Padres will travel to meet the Rockies. We get the Giants and the Diamondbacks. And then the Dodgers will take on the Oakland A's in some interleague action. That's a look at what's happening in Major League Baseball. As far as the NBA goes, and some games that you definitely want to pay attention to, the Utah Jazz are going to be back in action against the Golden State Warriors tonight, 7 o'clock tip-off. David Locke, Ron Boone will bring you the play-by-play call. Live coverage will begin at 6:50. We also get the Hornets at the Pacers. This is at 5 o'clock. Philly will take on Atlanta. 6 o'clock tonight, Boston at Washington. Could be a potential matchup in the first round of the playoffs, although unlikely. Washington floating around the 8th spot. Boston right now at number 2 in the Eastern Conference. We get Phoenix at Dallas, and then we also get the Rockets taking on the Los Angeles Lakers. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. We're going to break for just a moment, give you a rundown on everything on the local scene, and then again we'll be joined by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus. It's a Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And the 6th annual Price City International Days Golf Tournament will return to the Carbon County Golf Course on Saturday, July 28th, beginning at 8 a.m., and registration is now open. The tournament will once again follow the four-person scramble format and have a limit of one person with an 8 handicap or better per team. The cost for this year's tournament will be $300 per team, and that will include greens fees and a cart along with lunch. Throughout the tournament, participants will also have an opportunity to play in several contests, including a big-screen TV putting contest, a $100,000 hole-in-one contest, and free items from sponsors at each tee box. Registration will begin at 7 a.m. at the Carbon Country Club, followed by staging at 7:30. All of the proceeds from the tournament will be given to local charities. To register for the tournament, contact TK's Pro Shop at 637-2388. We take a look at other events, and the USU Eastern volleyball team will be playing host to a co-ed volleyball tournament, which will take place on April 20th and 21st inside the BDAC on the campus of USU Eastern as well as Pinnacle High School. Now, the cost of the tournament is $250 per team, and babysitting rates will also be available for those who are interested. You can find out more information on the volleyball tournament by visiting usueasternathletics.com, or for more information, contact the volleyball coach, Danielle Jensen. This is the final week to register. Registration will come to a close on Friday. And also, registration is open for the Spencer's Wishes Swing True for Life Baseball Clinic, which will take place at Smith's Ballpark in Salt Lake City. A tradition here in the local Castle Country area, the Spencer's Wishes Swing True for Life tournament is free for kids here in the local area. And the tournament runs in conjunction with Major League Baseball's Play Ball Initiative. Each child that registers will receive instruction from former Major League Baseball players as far as fundamentals go on hitting, catching, and running. You can find the registration form by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com, or you can contact Phil Roundy at 630-0205. You can also print off an official registration form at SpencersWishes.org. We move over to high school sports, and today the Emory Spartan baseball team will return to the field after spring break as they play host to the Manti Templars in a highly important region tilt. Emory is currently 2-4 in the region season. Last time the Spartans were on the field, that was on March 30th. They suffered a loss to San Juan at home. Following today's contest, Emory will return to the field, actually taking on ALA on Wednesday in what will be a non-league tilt. And then the Spartans will once again meet Manti on Friday. That contest will be on the road. Start time for today's home contest is set for 3:30 p.m. Now, continuing on with Emory High School Athletics, the Emory Lady Spartans softball team will take on the Manti Templars. This contest will also be at home. Start time is scheduled for 3:30 p.m. In other Emory High School action, the soccer squad will pick up the season. They'll take on the Richfield Wildcats. The last time we saw Emory out on the field, they defeated the Union Cougars back on March 29th. Emory will also participate in play on Thursday as they take on North Sam Pete. Today's contest against the Richfield Wildcats will be a road tilt. Today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we'll take a look at the damage the Carbon Dino baseball team has done so far this year. They've raced out to a 4-0 start in league play following a sweep over Providence Hall and Delta. Manager Jeff Cincinnatus will join us this afternoon beginning at 4 p.m. on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things. Play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
Tuesday edition of the Coach's Corner here on Drive Time Sports, and we're going to talk high school baseball. A little bit of a different schedule this week for Carbon High School. They're going to take on the Union Cougars not once but twice, and it's two monumental region games. And joining us in the studio right now to talk a bit about that, we have manager Jeff Cincinnatus. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for squeezing me in today, Jordan.
Absolutely, Coach. Always fun to talk Carbon baseball. And we can start by talking about what happened last week. It was a little bit more of a hectic week for you guys as far as region play goes. You had three games in 4 days, and you guys manage to win all three. Before we jump into the logistics of each of those three games, is it kind of a sigh of relief with the new pitch count, the new pitch rules that we have to play three region games in 1 week and come out with three wins?
Yeah, it's always tough when you're restricted on what you can do, and then you have to add another game in, due to a rain out that we had a couple weeks back. So it throws a wrinkle in your plans and makes you think about what you're going to do pitching wise a little bit more. But you know, the kids did a good job, and we've talked about this before. You know, I really have a solid pitching staff that goes pretty deep, and so at no point in time last week was, you know, pitchers a problem for us. I mean, we actually had some guys that I actually had to throw JV ball just to get some time in last week because they didn't get a chance to throw. So, but nevertheless, when you play three games in a week and you're not scheduled for that, it does throw a little wrinkle in what you're doing.
With that being said, you guys win a come-from-behind thriller against Delta. You got to score 6 runs in the bottom of the 7th inning, but you get a win there. And then after that, I don't want to say it was easy, but you cruised past Providence Hall and then, of course, ended the week with a 12-0 win over Delta.
Yeah, Tuesday's game with Delta at home was, you know, a mediocre performance at best. We started out the game great. Triton Beta started on the mound for us. 3 solid innings. I think he struck out 6 or 7 in 3 innings of play. You know, we had a 4-0 lead, which could have very easily been 6 or 7. We left guys on base in the first 2 or 3 innings. But, man, starting in the 4th inning, the wheels came off. Triton really struggled, gave up a base hit, and then 3 straight walks. And then we brought Jackson Leonard in to pitch, who, you know, Jackson does a great job for us, obviously. But he had, you know, guys on base, gave up a few more hits. Before we know it, you know, we're down, you know, 5-4, 6-4, and in a dogfight, when you give a team confidence that they can beat you, no matter how good they are, you know, you're going to get in a dogfight. And like you said, we had to come from behind and score 6 runs in the 7th inning just to get away with a win there, which I was, you know, pleased that we got the win. Obviously, I mean, kids can lay down and quit, and our guys didn't do that, but was just really not happy with our overall performance in that game. And we talked a lot about it. And the next day we show up at Providence Hall for the makeup game. You know, beat them 13-5 in another game that we, you know, made 3 or 4 errors in. It very easily could have been 13 or 15-0, but, you know, we got out of there with a win 13-5 and then, you know, capped it off at Delta Friday. And in the fashion that I thought we should have played with on Tuesday, you know, we beat them 12-0. Cody Lowe pitches 5 complete innings, gives up 1 hit, throws a total of 54 pitches, you know, and I think we out hit them 12 or 13-1. So, you know, that's what we should have done on Tuesday. That's what we should do every day to a team, you know, that I feel that we're that much better than. But we talk about it before, high school kids, you know, one day they show up with this attitude, the next day it's this attitude. You just really don't know what you're going to get from them day by day.
That's true. And I mean, when you edge someone like Delta on Tuesday, then you come back and you blast them on Friday. Maybe that was a learning experience, I guess, for the team, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's... The point I'm trying to make to these guys is if we play hard every day and we're not lazy and we play carbon baseball, which to me is what we're capable of doing day in and day out, hit the ball, play solid defense, we have a great pitching staff, we're going to be the team to beat when it comes down to it second week of May. I firmly believe that. But if we're going to play mediocre baseball and play down to, you know, the level of our opponent, then we can get beat at any time, just like anybody can. So, you know, the struggle is getting these guys to play at their level every day, no matter who we're playing. I think you find that in all sports at all levels. You know, you watch, you know, NBA teams blow somebody out by 30 and turn around and play them the next night and lose by 20. I mean, you know, how does that happen? I mean, we're talking 50-point swing. It's all about your effort. I mean, the guys are the same. The talent level is the same. It's just about the effort that you're giving compared to the other team. And so, we just need to give our best effort every day and continue to work hard and work on the little things that we're kind of struggling with a little bit right now, and we'll be just fine when May rolls around.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbonetto baseball team. Coach, following the 3 wins last week, it sets up what's going to be a very important 6 games. Right now, 3-way tie for first place in Region 14. Juab unbeaten, Union unbeaten, Carbon unbeaten. You guys get Union tomorrow and then again on Friday. Sets up for some really interesting baseball, to say the least.
Yeah, Union is a program that's consistently got better. Coach Labrum's done a great job with that program since taking over and kind of revamping their baseball program. You know, back when I was in school in the 80s, they were good back then. They've kind of, you know, been up and down and have been down for a while, but he's done a great job. They've been playing American Legion ball in the summer, which I really think has helped their program and their kids out to get more games. And, you know, they're having a great year. They're ranked number 1 in 3A right now because of their record. Like you mentioned, they're 4-0 just like we are. They beat basically the same 2 teams, Providence Hall and Delta, that we have. And so it's an important game. And we go there tomorrow, so we have them at their place first, which is going to be big. You know, if we can steal one at their place, should give us a really good advantage coming home on Friday to play them. But it's going to be a solid game, for both teams as far as going a long way towards May. I mean, I think the winner of this game and this series is going to obviously be the favorite in the region and maybe the favorite to win a state title, when it comes down to it. But, we're going to approach it the same way we approach every day. It's another game. It's the most important game that we have on our schedule. The next game is always the most important one, and, we're doing our best this week to get our kids prepared to go there and just play our baseball, play our caliber, work hard, and hopefully give our best effort. And if we do that, I firmly believe that, we'll come out on top in these next two games.
Coach, it's throughout the year, you and I, when we've talked, to me, it's never been a worry about pitching. It's been a worry of, can you guys score runs? And mm-hmm. I think last week you proved you can score runs. When you guys are scoring anywhere from 7 to 10 runs, I think it's going to be very hard for someone to beat you in this region.
Yeah, if we'll continue to do that, we've had some innings where, we'll go 3 or 4 innings and not score, and then two innings in a row we'll put 5-6 runs on the board apiece, and it's really frustrating as a coach because you think if you can do that in one inning, why can't you do it in the next inning? And again, it's just about focus. It's about making the minor adjustments. We started off at Delta really slow, had 3 strikeouts and 3 pop-ups in the first 2 innings, and then we made a change in the 3rd inning just in the way we approached the plate. And the kids bought into it, and they don't always buy into that change when you're trying to get them to change. But we went with the attitude that we just need to put singles, through the gaps here and there, and change our approach a little bit. And we did that, and we put 9 runs on the board. And hopefully that makes them believe that, hey, we can have 7 or 8, 9 singles in an inning, and we can put 9 runs on the board. We don't need home runs. We don't need doubles. We don't need triples. We don't need anybody to be a star. I think we laid down 2 or 3 bunts in that inning. And just kept the defense on their toes. And I was really happy with that inning, especially at Delta. But like you said, we're capable of scoring runs. It's always one of those things that I worry about, having a great pitching performance and great defense and then being shut out by somebody else and losing a game that we probably should win because we don't hit. But, right now, 1 through 9, I really believe is swinging the bats pretty well, and I'm really happy with where we're at halfway through the season in that aspect, and we just need to continue to get better.
I know Nate Olson's been swinging a very good bat. His average is now up to .355. Yeah. He's had a couple of 3-for-3 games. I think he had a 4-for-4 game as well.
Nate had a great week, and I talked about this with him yesterday at practice. He was solid all week long, probably the most consistent hitter we had all week, and just looked really comfortable at the plate all week long. Cody Lowe had another big game at Providence Hall, where he hit a home run, had 6 RBIs. And I've gotten after Cody. Cody's a great hitter. I don't know where he ranks in 3A right now, but he's got to be, top 4 or 5 in average and extra base hits just because he's that good. But Cody goes on spurts where, it's just a little bit of lack of, I want to say effort, but maybe focus, where he just gets underneath some balls and pops a lot of balls up and does things. And I think he's just trying to do too much all the time. And, he's such a good hitter that we just need him to, hit singles. Just singles. That's all I need from him and anybody else on our team. But, you mentioned Nate Olson. He had a great week last week for us, and we need Nate to continue to get better. He pitches for us. He plays the outfield, but his bat is where he really, really helps us out. I'm happy that he had a good week, and hopefully it continues on.
I'm sure you're never going to get upset when you see a run of doubles or triples in the final box score.
No, we'll take them. It's obviously nice, but when I see kids trying for that, and you can obviously tell when they're trying to swing like that, that's when I get upset. We don't need to swing that way. Just put the ball in play and good things will happen. Those doubles and triples and home runs will take care of themselves when you put good swings on the ball. But when you start trying to do those things, that's where you get in trouble. And, it's hard. These kids, they want to hit home runs. They want to be the big bat and everything else. But they need to understand just what's best for the team. And that might be laying a bunt down. It might just be a sacrifice fly or even a ground ball in the infield when you have a guy at third base and scoring him. We don't need them to go outside the box and do a lot of special things. It's just about doing the little things. And some days I see us buying into that, and that's when we're really good. And other days we kind of revert back to, wanting to do too much, and that's where I get a little frustrated. But, it's a great group of kids. They work hard. They've done a lot as far as baseball goes in their career. And, my biggest thing for them is just see them rewarded with a state title, because I truly believe they deserve one.
definitely capable of doing it. And again, it's going to be a huge week of baseball for you guys as you get set to meet Union not once but twice. Coach, on the eve of a game, a big game against Union, what's practice look like today for you guys?
A little bit of everything. Some defensive things. We need to clean up some issues that we've had on some certain circumstances in games, on how we cover some things and what we're doing. And obviously, we'll get some BP in today. We got a lot of BP in yesterday. But yeah, every day is a day where we try and hit, you know, and sometimes defense goes on the back burner a little bit, but we have some things that we need to make sure we're cleared up on, especially with a big game tomorrow that could be really tight, that we've got all our coverages down as far as bunt coverages and certain situations on the base path on what we're doing, just so, you know, one mistake could cost you a ball game in games like this and any game really, but, you know, we don't want to let a mistake that we know we're capable of making, you know, have that cost us a ball game tomorrow or in the future. So we're going to continue to work on the little defensive things that might get overlooked and then always get some BP in.
Coach, I appreciate you taking out the time. I know we got to get you out of here so you can get to practice, but thank you again for the time today and best of luck against Union.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
And we have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
Let's talk NBA basketball for this segment here on Drive Time Sports. Again, coming up tonight, the Utah Jazz will take on the Golden State Warriors. Start time for that game is at 7 o'clock. Live coverage will begin at 6:50. We know the Jazz are going into the playoffs. We just don't know where the Jazz are going to sit. I'll tell you, they were 9 games under 500 on January 22nd. 9 games under 500. And now they control their own destiny to get the 3 seed in the Western Conference. Can I please get some love for Quinn Snyder as Coach of the Year? Please.
I think that Quinn Snyder should probably be Coach of the Year. Brad Stevens is another guy you can throw in there.
I agree with that.
Out of those two, I think it's down to those two. What Brad Stevens has done in Boston without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, but what Quinn Snyder has done with the development of Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz and what they've accomplished since they were, like you said, 9 games under 500 at 19-28, and since that point, they've lost 5 games.
Yeah, I got to throw Dwayne Casey in that category as well for Toronto. To me, it's between those three coaches, but...
Is Alvin Gentry still the Pelicans coach?
Yeah.
I would throw him in there, too.
You had to think about that, who the coach is, right, for the New Orleans Pelicans.
I was like, wait a second, is Alvin Gentry still there? But he is. I would throw him in there, too.
Yeah, they've done a good job, especially after losing Boogie. Look, that's a playoff team. But let's take a look at what could happen as we go into tonight. First off, last night, we got a little bit more clear. 3 playoff spots were clinched out west. Pelicans, Alvin Gentry, as you were just talking about. The Thunder clinched a playoff spot. I think it's somewhat of a letdown. You know, speaking of coaches that have done great jobs, the fact that Billy Donovan and the Oklahoma City Thunder just clinched a playoff spot last night. I know the Western Conference is tough, but that's ridiculous.
It took 81 games in the season for them to clinch.
Yeah.
Shouldn't happen.
Spurs are in. It's the 21st consecutive postseason appearance for San Antonio. A week ago, we were talking about the possibility of the Spurs not getting to the postseason. I thought it was unlikely, but it was in question. They have the second longest run in NBA history as far as consecutive postseason appearances. So what we don't know as we go into Tuesday's games, who's going to get the last spot? That's going to be determined tomorrow night when Minnesota plays host to Denver. So it's kind of a playoff game right there, which is fantastic. I love it when it comes down to one game to get into the postseason and those two teams are playing one another. It's a letdown for Tom Thibodeau and Minnesota to not get into the playoffs as well. I mean, let's be honest. If Denver finds a way to sneak in, Mike Malone, a guy who I guess was on the hot seat, I join a Colorado sports talk show weekly, and I always go on to talk NBA basketball, and about 3 weeks ago, I was asked if I would fire Mike Malone if I was management, and I said, why? What has Mike Malone done besides keep this team competitive with a winning record in the Western Conference when the front office has been the one that has flubbed up time and time again? They gave the Jazz Donovan Mitchell for Trey Lyles. They gave the Jazz Rudy Gobert for cash. You're going to take that out on Mike Malone? This guy has this team playing competitive basketball. But it is a disappointment in my eyes if Minnesota does not get in.
You bring in Jimmy Butler with Karl-Anthony Towns. You expect higher expectations than
you got Andrew Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins, too, who's a guy who seems like he doesn't want to be there anymore. So comes down to game 82. You thought Minnesota would already be in. I thought Minnesota possibly could win the division at the start of the year with the pieces that they added. I think Denver wins that game tomorrow.
Okay, so
I like the Nuggets.
Only two teams since 2009 have not made the playoffs with 46 wins. And so another one is going to join that group. If Denver wins, more than likely they're going to be the seventh seed. Isn't that crazy? You either get in at the seventh seed or you don't get in at all. If Minnesota wins, it's going to end the longest playoff drought. So we talked about the Spurs going 21 consecutive years. The Timberwolves would end the longest drought. And they could actually finish anywhere between 5 to number 8 or not make it. That's how tight it is.
That's how wild it is, yeah. It's how tight it is towards the bottom. So.
But there's too much talent on that Minnesota team and on that OKC team for them to be in this spot. That's my take on it.
These teams should be up towards the 3, 4, and 5, not 6, 7, 8. It's ridiculous.
After that, the only seeds that are currently settled are Houston and Golden State. Portland last week, you know, we were talking about the Jazz just getting into the playoffs. I thought Portland was done, sealed, delivered as number three. They've lost four games going into tonight. They've lost four consecutive games. The Jazz, on the other hand, have won five in a row. And again, they control their own destiny. If they can beat Golden State tonight and then Portland, they will be the number three seed. And again, I mentioned this at the beginning of the segment. They were nine games under 500 on January 22nd. And today I was on Steve Bortstein's show, First Sports. Everybody knows Steve here on the show. He joins us regularly. And he asked me, if it's not Golden State and Houston in the Western Conference Finals, who would it be? If you can replace one of those two teams and slide in another, who is it going to be? I have to say Utah, based on the fact that this team was nine games under 500 on January 22nd, and now they're knocking on the door for 50 wins, they could finish with 48 wins.
It has to be the Jazz.
It has to be the Jazz.
Because you're not taking New Orleans, you're not taking San Antonio, you're not taking OKC, and you're not taking whoever out of Denver and Minnesota.
No, if you would have told me at the beginning of the year, the Jazz were going to win 50 games, I would have agreed with you. In fact, I said the Jazz would win 50 games. January, that looked like, really? You predicted the Jazz to win 50 games?
Didn't think they were going to get to like 35 at that point.
Oh my goodness,
the way they were playing.
Terrible. Now they could open up the playoffs at home, and it would be the first time that the Jazz have home court advantage in the first round. Can you name the last time that happened?
No.
2001.
That's a long time.
That's how long it's been.
17 years.
Also, they could fall to the number seven seed still as well. But they're playing great basketball. So let's take a look at the routes that the Jazz could take as far as the playoffs go. We'll begin with the three seed. Easiest route. You win out, boom, you're number three. It's that simple. The Jazz don't have to scoreboard watch. They don't have to pay attention to anything. If you win out, you're the number three seed going into the playoffs. Easiest scenario we could throw out there. Win tonight, beat Portland, you're the three seed. Okay,
yeah, that's the route you want to go.
Utah is favored to beat Golden State tonight at home because the Warriors do not have Steph Curry, but they will be an underdog when they play Portland. 1-1 finish means that they're probably going to be the four seed. It's more important that they beat Portland than it is Golden State. I mean, all they have to do is beat Portland, and they're in. They're in as the number three seed, right? Because they own the tiebreaker against Portland. So
yeah, they own the tiebreaker.
You know, that's simple. You just beat Portland, and you're going to be the number three seed. So that's simple. But if you go 1-1 and you lose to Portland, 0-2 means that the Jazz could fall anywhere from 5 all the way down to 8. But if we're looking at the 4 seed, 1-1, most likely they're going to be the 4 seed. They have the head-to-head tiebreaker against New Orleans and San Antonio, but those would only come into play if OKC loses. So it's unlikely for the Jazz to finish
towards the bottom.
Towards the bottom, right? So 4 seed if you go 1-1, more than likely. Now the Jazz will end up number 5 if Portland finishes 3rd. And the Jazz end up tied with OKC by going 1-1 or 0-2, and then the Thunder win or lose on Wednesday. OKC beat the Jazz 3-1 in the season series, so they hold the tiebreaker. The Jazz would get leapfrogged by the winner of the Pelicans-Spurs game if the Jazz lose out. So a 5 seed is possible. That's about as clear as mud, right? The Jazz will be the 5 seed if they tie with Minnesota. who would have to beat Denver on Wednesday. The two teams split their season series, but Minnesota would have a 10-6 division record. The Jazz would be 7-9 in that scenario. So Minnesota would actually, they would lose a tiebreaker to Minnesota. So nightmare scenario for the Jazz. You go 0-2, Minnesota tops Denver. Then all of a sudden the Jazz could fall out of the top five seeds in the Western Conference, but that seems unlikely as well. In the case of a four-way tie at 48-34, which is possible. Am I speaking too many numbers here?
Yeah, there's too many numbers. Okay. I want it tied. 48-34, everybody.
Okay. Let's talk about 48-34. All right, because right now Portland's at 48-33. The Jazz could end up at 48-34. The Pelicans and the Spurs and the Thunder could all end up at 48-34. You want chaos, right?
I want chaos.
If we have a four-way tie between Portland, OKC, Utah, and then the winner of the Spurs and Pelicans, because they play, so only one of those teams could end up with 48 wins, the seeding would play out in that order. Portland, they would be the 3, OKC would be the 4, Utah would be the 5, the winner of the Spurs and Pelicans would be the 6. So the Jazz would stay in that 4 or 5 spot.
That's what I want. I want chaos.
If the Jazz were to end up the 6th seed, they would need to lose out and fall behind New Orleans or San Antonio and finish tied or behind OKC, or have one of those scenarios play out, finishing in a tie with Denver or Minnesota. Follow that?
Yes.
It's unlikely for them to be the 6th seed.
No.
I don't see the Jazz falling below the 5 seed. And again, to me, the only way they become the 5 seed is if it's a four-way tie with Portland, OKC, and then the winner of the Spurs and Pelicans. The 7th seed. The Jazz would need to lose out and end up at a three-way tie or a four-way tie with the loser of the Pelican-Spurs game, OKC, Minnesota, and Denver. Because they would hold some tiebreakers over the Pelicans and Spurs, they're guaranteed no worse than the 7 seed. So Utah will be the 7 if they lose twice. New Orleans loses to San Antonio. Minnesota beats Denver because Minnesota would split with Utah. They would be 6. Holy cow. Not a lot of clarity heading into the final two games, right? The easiest route,
yeah.
You just need to win your next two games, and you're the 3 seed.
Which I expect them to do.
How big would that be for the Jazz to be the 3 seed? And again, I start to pay attention to playoff matchups. Here's why I think it's important for the Jazz to be 3 and not 4. If you're 4, you're going to get a healthy Houston Rocket team in round 2. Okay, I don't like the Jazz to beat Houston regardless what round it's in. I will take my chances against the Jazz with the Warriors.
Because yes, I will too.
I still think the Warriors come out of the West, but there's question marks there injury-wise, right?
Yeah, how do you know how Steph Curry's going to respond from his injury? You know, Durant's been injured up and down. It's going to take time for those guys, you know, to get that chemistry back. I would much rather play the Warriors than the Rockets.
Get the 3 seed, throw out all the scenarios that we just talked about, win tonight, beat the Blazers, bang, you're the 3 seed. Even though you were 9 games under 500 on January 22nd. We got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
This is John Wall from the Washington Wizards. And you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buskerings on KOAL 750 AM.
Wall shoots over Bayless. Dagger! John Wall with a career-high 47 points.
We're back to close out this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports. Two, I guess we can call them odd news and notes. First off, Thursday Night Football will be making its return to KOAL. I love the Thursday Night Football this last year. So happy we've added that to the sports program. If you listen to Thursday Night Football, you're not going to notice a difference. But if you watch Thursday Night Football, you're going to notice a big difference. The Color Rush uniforms are gone. Say goodbye to them. Bill Wagner of Fox Sports said today that the NFL plans to scrap the alternate uniforms, which it did use during Thursday Night Football. It doesn't mean that they can't wear these uniforms later on in the season, but they're not going to be wearing them on Thursday night anymore. The NFL reported that the Color Rush uniforms aren't going away completely, but they're just not going to be exclusive. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, there's some of the uniforms I like, and there's some that I don't. So it's just hit or miss.
Well, yeah, I mean, some of them are great. Some of them have been a mess. Like, if you're colorblind, those red-green colorblindness, Jets-Bills, that was a mess. That was a disaster. And then I remember 2 years ago, the Rams could not wear their bright yellows against the Seahawks, who had their bright greens because of colorblindness. You wouldn't be able to tell the two colors apart. So there have been some issues. There's some good-looking color rush uniforms. There's some bad ones. I hate San Francisco's. The pure black.
Don't like them. I like the Patriots' dark colored ones. The white ones were cool. The Jets' white ones were. I like them. So yeah, it's hit or miss.
The Patriots didn't.
They didn't really.
To me, that wasn't a huge change. There were teams that had drastic changes in the uniforms when they went to the color rush. The Rams look like West Virginia. They're old school colors, but they look like West Virginia. I'm okay with some of them, but they're not going to be exclusive to Thursday night anymore. Doesn't mean you're not going to see them. That just means that we're going to get more alternate uniforms throughout the entire year. Every team will play a Thursday night game, but now you don't get the color rush uniforms. I'm fine with that. Let's move over to the NBA. Dirk Nowitzki confirms that he will, in fact, return for his 21st season in the NBA with the Dallas Mavericks. He said, quote, I'm coming back. I'm planning on coming back. That was his quote. He has a $5 million team option. He did a great job in really helping the team by taking a smaller salary. Dirk comes back for his 21st season. Tim Duncan, mainstay with the San Antonio Spurs. Kobe Bryant, mainstay with the Lakers. Neither one played 21 years with their respective teams. Not the case for Dirk Nowitzki. He'll get year 21 under his belt.
Yeah, good for Dirk. Continue to do something you love until they show you the door.
Okay, but this is something I want to point out. And I'm not saying anything negative about Dirk Nowitzki because I love Dirk. I think Dirk is a class act. I love the loyalty that Dirk Nowitzki has shown the Dallas Mavericks. Okay, I think that's fantastic. I think it's something that we miss in professional sports. The Mavericks have been loyal to Dirk. Dirk has been loyal to the Mavericks. There have been players in the past, aging players, that have refused to take a pay cut. Dirk Nowitzki's not one of those guys. And we can sit here and we can say it's commendable. Dirk Nowitzki deserves to make more than $5 million next season for the Dallas Mavericks. Everything that he has done for that organization, he deserves to make more than $5 million. Okay, but he took a pay cut.
And he's probably going to take another one with that team option. I don't think he's going to even be around five.
Where has it got him? That's the question.
Nowhere.
Where did it get Dirk? Okay, Kobe took a lot of grief for not taking a pay cut in L.A. I thought Kobe earned every penny. It would have been the same thing with Tim Duncan. Had Tim Duncan continued to play for San Antonio, he would have earned every penny in that organization. The Spurs were in a different scenario because they're competing for an NBA championship. The Lakers were not competing. The Mavericks have not competed. Dirk saves Dallas money, and what have they done with it? They gave $23.1 million to Harrison Barnes. They gave $17, $18 million to Wes Matthews, and Dwight Powell is making $10 million next year. What has Dallas done with the savings? That's the problem I have here, and that's why it's not always the best route to take a pay cut if you're an aging vet when you have earned it. If the Mavericks are not going to spend that money, give it to Dirk, because he has made the Mavericks that much more money in the past, and he will in the future as well. Pay Dirk if you're not going to bring in people to help him in what could be, or what more than likely will be, his last season.
Yeah, Dirk Nowitzki put the Mavericks on the map. Won that championship. They won the title because of him and his play, and he put Dallas Maverick basketball on the map, so he deserves to get paid. And like you said,
if
you're going to spend that money on those players that you just read off, That's a waste of time.
Hey, Dirk.
No, it's a waste.
When vets take pay cuts or restructure their salary,
you expect expectations of signing players to
compete. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Congrats to Dirk. Congrats to Dallas on the loyalty. I love it. It's something you don't see very often. But that right there is an example of a team really almost taking advantage of a player, in my opinion. Out of time on the show today, we got to send a thank you to Coach Jeff Cincinnatus for stopping by in between practice for Carbon High School. Best of luck to the Dinos as they continue the season tomorrow. They'll take on the Union Cougars. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We're out.